You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get your last word.
The following podcast is a W2M Network partnership production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Ellsworth.
No chin music! No chin music! So I just want to remind you guys, before we get into the episode, that we're brought to you in partnership with Last Word on Wrestling, on ProWrestling.com, PWPonderings.com, the Wrestling to the Max Network, and I think that's it for now. All right. So, we don't have a pay-per-view next week, which I'm a little confused about. I feel like every week we need to either talk about a pay-per-view or preview a pay-per-view, so this kind of feels like some weird breathing room that I'm not allowed to usually have.
Even though we have, you know, Evolve 70 and 71 to discuss,
well,
so.
I mean,
but no, WWE yes, that's branded what I mean. Pay-per-view, yes.
You know, their super shows. On TBS. All right, so you want to start with Raw, I guess? Let's start off with Raw, and then we'll head to Evolve, or do you want to start with Evolve?
I mean, I figure we just go in chronological order and start with Evolve, right?
All right, that makes sense. So you actually were live tweeting the show. If you guys want to follow Runs over here, make sure you go to Running Wild LWS on Twitter. So you can follow along with the Evolve shows. You usually got both of them in a weekend, which is pretty awesome. So what did you think of the first show? That was, let me just make sure, that's number 70, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just it'll be the same thing for both pretty much, but they were both good shows. The crowd at 70 really sucked, and it ruined, you know, parts of the show, because if the crowd is not into it or not reacting how they're supposed to, or, you know, not really doing anything, it takes away from the atmosphere, the excitement of, you know, the story these guys are trying to tell. Like, it seemed like a lot of people weren't familiar with the guys. Like, even like Saber got a big pop, and then during his match it was just kind of quiet, and it was like, what the hell, what are we doing? This is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now, and we're just kind of sitting on our hands. You know, it was pretty weird.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the show live, but I caught some of it later, and it just reminded me a lot, actually, of the Brooklyn crowd for Evolve 68? No. Is that the one? Yeah, that was the night.
Somewhere around there.
Oh, no, 68 was the one that Johnny was, that was in Long Island. So I guess it was like 67, the one that was during SummerSlam weekend when I was away. It was early in the day, and it was actually at the same place where I'd seen Tier 1 like a week earlier. So that crowd was really weird. That was the Thatcher-Gulak match.
Yeah.
Right? And that, you mean, I think,
yeah,
I believe
that,
you saw
that
show,
crowd,
right?
Was into it. They were just, they hated Thatcher. Like, you know, but they were into the show.
Oh, okay.
This crowd was just pretty quiet, you know? It was really weird. Like, not, they weren't, you know, reacting like booing Roman Reigns type of thing. They were just not reacting or chanting out stupid stuff, you know?
You know, I don't, it's weird because, and maybe I'm just being presumptuous, you know, but this isn't that far from where Full Sail tapes, is it?
I have no idea. But like the next night, the crowd was into it. They loved it. They were loud. So how far could those two shows have been, you know?
I mean, they were in, I'm trying to think. So the first night was Orlando.
And then Ybor City. Ybor City, they've been in a bunch of times, so maybe that was it. Orlando, I'm not sure how many times they've been there, but that crowd was not good.
Yeah, it is kind of odd trying to think about who these people are that are at the shows.
Yeah, it makes no sense, you know, unless they just, I don't know, they weren't promoted enough or people weren't aware of that, but that NXT crowd seems pretty knowledgeable, so I don't know.
Yeah, it was just really surprising just to have that reaction. So what matches stuck out to you from the first night?
I mean, Thatcher Paige was good. Sabre Tracy Williams was just, you know, ridiculous, that as you would expect from those guys. Hiro Gulak was good. Riddle AR Fox was good, too. I'm not the biggest fan of AR Fox, so, you know, whatever. But I enjoyed the match.
And AR Fox used to be in Evolve a couple of years ago, right? Like, he kind of made a comeback, or not a comeback, but a return.
Yeah, like, this was his first match back in a while. I think they had a falling out of some type or whatever the case. So it was, like, I think Gabe Sapolsky even said, like, you know, not the biggest fan of AR Fox personally, but, you know, this is, like, not, you know, probably not personally, like, I don't know how he phrased it, but, you know, then it was like, yeah, but, you know, happy to see him back and Evolve and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Or, like, you know, we've had our problems, whatever he said.
And Darby tried to kill himself again, Darby Allin?
Always. There's just, like, a pole. Like that. I don't even know what it was. And he climbed the pole and did the coffin drop backwards. And, like, the guy didn't... You got to catch him, like, with some of your body there.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And, like, it was just, like, a back suplex. Like, oh, my God.
It's like... Kamitachi and Ring of Honor, he does this. He kind of does. I guess it's like a senton to the outside, but he's not prepping himself at all, you know. And
he almost killed himself at the pay per view.
Yeah, it always scares me whenever I see him go to do it, because if the other guy's not paying attention, like, he's just thrown himself.
Yep.
And you know, you don't even see that he's getting his, like, back straight or that his arms are out. It's just like he literally just flips like a dude who just wanted to do a flip. And that kind of freaks me out every time.
Yeah, he's not the most gracious guy in the ring. Graceful, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Guy in the ring. So it those kind of moves, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of Tom Gachi, so it, you know, everything kind of just leaves a sour note.
I feel terrible because I have to admit this on air. I got some cred for saying Tamagotchi on the PWP I think the podcast of Honor the last time I was on.
Yeah.
And, like, a couple of people were tweeting at me about it, and I felt real guilty. I even tried to say, I was like, it's not mine, you know. But I said it on air because I just, when I think of him now, I think of Tamagotchi because you've said it, and it just.
That's his name.
I really didn't come up with this. I gotta be honest there. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, we also had the, I guess, debut of the Gatekeepers as in-ring performers there on 70 and, you know, again on 71. But, you know, they look good. The one big bald dude is just, like, he's huge. But, you know, whatever. They were dominated both teams both nights, so it was a good showing. You know, Paige cut a promo before and after most of the both matches. So, you know, continuing that story, debuting these guys who are not like anyone else in Evolve because they're humongous. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
Do you think in any way that it was like... I'm trying to, like... I don't really know these guys. So what did you... How did they come off? The Gatekeepers.
I think I just said that it was pretty good. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought they looked good in the ring. They just looked dominant, you know. And because of most of the roster on Evolve not being the biggest guys, these guys are humongous, so they should be dominating, you know, these jobbers that are just brought in for whatever. Like, they had ridiculous names both night, like Bunk and Funk and whatever, Coleman and Locker. They were just ridiculously dressed, and so whatever, they were clearly there just to get squashed. But, you know, they're not as athletic as War Machine, but that's what it feels like because of the size difference and, you know, what they are. So Ethan Page kept saying chaos, chaos, chaos. So I don't know if that's going to be, you know, their name or at least definitely their theme, because he kept saying it. Like, even when he had no microphone, he would just, like, mouth it into the camera. So I think they were trying to hammer that home.
Isn't there, I'm not crazy, right? There's a New Japan group called Chaos?
Yes. So maybe not.
Yeah. I just hope they don't do it. Like, I'm okay with, I mean, the name is fine, obviously. Like, I don't really care. It's not a bad name. It's not like Submission Sorority or something like that. But
he was saying, like, you know, where I'm going to cause chaos and chaos. Like that, that was like the theme. So Okay. Maybe it'll be something based off that since, yeah, you're right. I forgot about the New Japan group.
Now I know what I blanked out on before and I was trying to ask you. And then I switched to the Gatekeepers to cover up the fact that I just had a mind problem.
Okay, now that question makes sense.
What did you think about the fact that the match was not the main event? Because it was announced as the main event earlier.
I don't mind because the way that Evolve does it, where Paige was out there with the Gatekeepers, he cut a promo on Thatcher came out. That's fine.
Okay.
Like, so you know, that makes perfect sense to me. And then they're just like, all right, you know what? Like Thatcher or whatever, he was ready to fight, and Paige was like, I don't want to do this now. No. All right, you know what? Fine. So I don't mind that, just, you know, throwing it out there. And the return of AR Fox and Riddle is pretty much their biggest star, so yeah, that's fine that was the main event.
Just, I feel like if I were Paige, I'd feel like Macho Man at WrestleMania 8. Like, what do you mean we're wrestling for the title? Like, you know, like,
yeah, well, like this
Thatcher's been
first.
Thatcher's been gone for 2 months. You know, it's his first title defense. It's Ethan Page's, you know, like, first big chance after this kind of, like, big change, and then it doesn't get put on the top of the card, and I just find that I feel.
Yeah, and then if Thatcher wins and the crowd boos, and you know, you don't end the show with that match, but okay. You know, it was a good match. I enjoyed it. It wasn't your typical Thatcher, like, submissions all over, because you know that's not Paige's style. So it was a good showing, but like, you know, Saber Hot Sauce, Hiro Gulak, Riddle Fox, or you know, they all could have main evented. So they were all great matches. I enjoyed all four of them. You know, the 70 and 71 are both worth checking out. Just watch with the crowd on mute the first night.
So this is actually going to tie into our episode for next week. Give you guys a little preview. So what happened with Thatcher and Stokely Hathaway?
After the match the first night, Stokely came out with a couple girls and, you know, the money, making it rain on Thatcher and all that. And, like, he didn't get in the ring, just one of the girls. And, you know, he said, offer him a spot on the Dream Team, basically telling him, like, you know, you hate promoting, you hate talking, you hate, you know, talking to agents and getting paid and blah, 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 but you love wrestling. So you take that, and I'll handle everything else. And when he said it, I was like, you know what? Like, that really makes perfect fucking sense, because like, this is exactly what a manager does. He doesn't need to manage Ethan Page. Ethan Page can talk. But Thatcher's just that guy who comes out and beats you up. So now Stokely can be his mouthpiece, and I'm sure Stokely's going to get himself in trouble probably sooner than later, you know, booking Thatcher in some form of another. But you know, maybe it's a scam, maybe not, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good idea. The next night, you know, Thatcher, he came in the ring this time, I think, and Thatcher shook his hand, and they agreed. And so Stokely was kind of just like, what just happened? He said yes, what? Oh, all right, yeah, okay.
It was great, because I actually, after I saw that he did that, I tweeted at him the video of Thatcher, like, breaking his thumb back in the summer. I was like, what's going on, man? He's like, it's healed. All right, I've moved on. It's all right. And I, you know, and then I think after Thatcher accepted, he tweeted out a picture of them watching. Supposedly, they were looking at a phone, and he tweeted that they were watching Moesha.
Yeah.
So, which I think is just amazing. So as a little pre,
the comedy elements of it are going to be phenomenal, you know.
And if you enjoyed that, what you guys should do is definitely. Don't miss next week's episode, because Stokely should be on the show with us. So we'll be able to pick his brain about some of this stuff and ask him about his relationship with Tim Thatcher and, you know, just kind of his career overall. But he'll be joining us to kind of go over things. So it'll be a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I mean, definitely looking forward to that. And I mean, thank him in advance for, you know, corresponding with us and, you know, potentially coming on.
I would say hype's a word I could use there. And still stay professional. All right.
You don't get hyped. You stay hyped.
Well, I've been hyped since we started taping back in a year and a half ago almost. All right, but before we move on to our...
The second night, you know, we could just talk about briefly before we move on to WWE. Hero Riddle main evented, and I thought that was really good. Really, really good match. Like, go out of your way to check that one out. I mean, from watching Battle of Los Angeles and Taz, the interview with Riddle, like, I learned that Hero and Riddle are boys. You know, like, they travel the roads, and they're really good friends. So when I heard they were wrestling, I got super hyped, because when two friends fight, it's always, you know, Hero's somehow at the top of his game right now. Riddle is, you know, literally, I think, less than a year in the business, and just, I mean, that guy. But, you know, so that was really good. We had Saber and Yehi, who are both 1-0 and trying to get a title shot coming up. So Saber won that, and it was really actually pretty good. I enjoyed watching Yehi in there with him. You know, we usually get to see him in the, not comedy, but, you know, the undercard matches and that kind of thing. So he's still, I mean, he's really driving home this Big Trouble thing, and it's a little annoying, but, you know, I get it. So it was enjoyable. It was a good match. I really liked it.
This guy's in trouble!
In trouble!
But, you know what the thing is? Like, see, I guess, you know, it comes off different, but being there, I get super hyped about it every time. Like, every time I'm like, trauma! I yell it when I'm not supposed to yell it. I try to, like, preemptively yell before he does. So, no, I really like him. I like what happened with Paige afterwards. You know, I thought that Saber's really good, but I want to see more. I want to be more tied to him more than just the... you know, the fantastic wrestling and the reversals. I want a little bit more invested interest, because I'll be honest with you, as much as I like him, I rarely want him to win. Like, if you would have asked me, not who will win, but who do you want to win, I'm going to go with Yehi, because he's got a personality and a character that I really like.
See, Saber has a great person. Like, when he's in the ring, like, all the stuff he interacts with the crowd and all
that's
that
stuff. Great, yeah.
Like, I love that. So,
I mean, a persona, I should say.
But his persona is that he's just that British beast, like, you know, he's so I don't know, I enjoy watching Saber. But before we briefly, we got the email today with the cards some of the card. Did you see that for 72?
Yeah.
I guess we can get to that, we'll preview that later on. But Galloway, Riddle, Saber, Ethan Page, Anything Goes, Dustin and Gulak, Hero, Tracy Williams. I mean, those four matches done. I'm in, sold 100% to you, front row. Have a nice day.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me a little... So I think that it's Hero Riddle again in Joba, right? The next night.
Yes.
Yeah, so
which would have been awesome. But
yeah,
Riddle Galloway is going to be really good too. And Hero Williams, I will also enjoy that a lot of.
It's... No matter what, I think it's going to be a really great show. I just, like, I guess...
You would have liked to see that.
Yeah, observing a little bit more closely, you know, they clearly make it so that Sunday is the bigger show. You know, it's...
Yeah, I mean...
You don't think
sometimes
so?
They do, sometimes they don't. It just kind of comes off that way at times.
Maybe it's just the way that it's received also.
Yeah, I mean, those four matches, I mean... Riddle Hero, yes, the rematch, but, like, it's the rematch. You know, Galloway Riddle was supposed to happen. Hero kind of just stepped in there. And that was the other thing. Hero kind of split from Galloway and them, just kind of walked away from them the first night. The second night, Galloway told them to hold up Riddle so he could do something. And Galloway was like, hold them up yourself, and just left. So it seems like they're moving on from that.
I wonder what that's about. Like, I wonder if that's actually because Hero is not going to be around for a while, or if that's because they're going to actually use Hero in some sort of way against these guys.
Yeah, I think that's more of the reasoning. I think he'll be around for, I mean, you know, why not? I think
it's not often, I guess.
There's, Yeah, exactly. It's every couple months, and when he can be there, I guess he'll be there. I mean, you know, he's going to be at both of the shows in November, so hopefully that continues. It's a great place to work. There's a lot of talent there, so, you know, why not?
Well, makes sense 100%. And the only other thing I wanted to ask you about was... Just give me 1 second. Oh, how was Callahan?
I mean, I don't know. I liked him more before he was in WWE. Like, you know, now that he's back on the indies, I get that his character is his character, but to see him just, like, kind of come back and step right into where he was is feels a little weird to me. So, I don't know. Now it's kind of like, eh. But, you know, it was a solid match. Paige is good. I really enjoy watching him wrestle now. So, you know, that was a good match. Both shows... We're really good wrestling, you know, as always.
All right. Well, with all of that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to just kind of give you guys an opportunity here. So podcast advertising is one of the most engaging types of digital advertising. Cast.market makes it easy to advertise on podcasts. So sign up and try the campaign creator today. So that's actually what we're using right now. The target quality shows specific to your product or service. Enter the podcast code for us, which is Running Wild, and the show will automatically be included and site fees will be waived. So go to http://cast.market today. All right. So with that out of the way, let's go into Monday Night Raw. That was weird.
Quickly before we even, you know, talk about Raw, did you see Tommy End, somebody Big Damo from Ireland, and Crazy Mary Dobson arrived at the Performance Center?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you got to watch those PWG shows yet, but definitely Bola, when I give you those, watch Tommy End, because, wow, I fell in love with him watching these couple of PWG shows. Like, that guy is awesome, awesome.
I'm actually, so... I guess it speaks to what we watch. I'm more excited about Crazy Mary Dobson. I haven't watched the PWG discs yet, so maybe it'll change my mind. But I've seen a lot of her work with...
It will change your mind, but I completely agree with you anyway. Continue.
Like, she's a really great female wrestler.
And she's, 22, I think they said?
Yeah, she's super young. She's been wrestling for 5 years, and she's, like, 22, 23. She has a really great gimmick. I hope they don't change what she does. She wears, like, a Jason mask to the ring, and she has, like, one crazy contact in, so her eye looks crazy, and she's got, like, you know, eye makeup on it, so then it looks even better with the mask.
Hopefully, seeing what they do with Roddy and Aries and Joe and AJ, hopefully they... Yes, maybe you're going to change her name, you're going to do whatever, but at least let her keep, but... Who knows, because Ember Moon has her contacts and all that. So we'll see what happens.
And I'm scared. The other thing I'm scared about is don't make your sister Abigail. I just don't want that. I like the Jason mask. It's so... But, you know, they did the same thing to my boy Generico. So what can I say?
Well, I mean, if she was Sister Abigail, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing.
But what if Sister... But yeah, it would. Because now you're tied to
Bray Wyatt.
If
she's wrestling and just, like, dominating and winning the women's title and stuff, I don't know, Bray is just managing her. Like, that wouldn't be bad.
All right. I just feel like if you're with the Wyatts...
If pushed correctly, it could be good. But, you know, I get you, given their history, it probably won't be.
Like, she can't be in Insanity because, you know, they're...
Yeah, Nikki Cross is already there.
So...
I mean, talk about kind of shooting your load a little early for me. If you would have just debuted Sanity a month later, like, you would have had End and Dobson, that would have been... You know, I think that would have been perfect. But I get it. You can push them both on their own anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So Raw was basically just a build to seeing Goldberg come back.
Yeah, which is so stupid when they have three matches that should be blood feuds heading into Hell in a Cell, and nobody really addresses the death that Hell... Like, you know, it's mentioned every now and then, but... I get Kevin Owens saying, like, you know, yeah, I get the death, but I'm better than that, so I'm just smarter. Yeah, but you should still be a little, like, yeah, I know what this is going to do to me, but I'll fight through it anyway. I don't know. Be a little more fearful.
Oh, wait, so I can't talk about it until we talk about SmackDown. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing. I don't know. I didn't feel like the hype was big, but at the same time, it wasn't the go-home show, so I guess it's okay. I mean, they're really trying to sell this Goldberg thing, and the game just came out, so that's the big reason, right? The game was coming out, like, the next day.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine, you know, I understand that. And what they built towards was great, but you still need a little more focus on the guys and the match, because, like, you know, what they did on SmackDown with Ellsworth and AJ was the entire show. It was, you know, a Bryan backstage segment, an Ambrose backstage segment, an AJ thing. Then the match was the main event. So, you know, that was all SmackDown was about. And Raw was all about Goldberg, and you had the Goldberg video packages. But, yeah, that's just an interview. It's just this. It's, you know, that's not your world title match or your big money feud yet. Being said, I enjoyed the hell out of that entire segment. Like, I mentioned on Twitter, I'm not sure if I mentioned on the show, like, when Heyman was cutting his promo last week and the Goldberg chants were going, it was kind of surreal, you know, just like, what? This is 15 years ago. And, you know, these are used, like, to make fun of someone, and now it's because this guy is going to come back and actually fight. Like, that's pretty cool. And then this week, the entrance, thank you, the fireworks, blowing the smoke out at the end. Thank you, Goldberg, for not missing a beat. He looked good. The promo was phenomenal. The crowd reaction was insane. Insane.
All right. So I'm that guy who just didn't care. Now, I am going to temper this by saying that I fall asleep often because I just can't watch 3 hours. And I did fall asleep. I rewound it 4 times, and before he finished, like, his second line, I just was knocked out again. I'm not sure what that says. Listen, I was one of those guys who was just, like, very angry that Goldberg beat Jericho, and it was kind of fun a couple of times, but I got bored of it quickly. I didn't really care that he beat Hogan. I didn't care when he came to WWE. And I didn't think that he should have been the main event talking to end the show. It's just not something that I was looking forward to. So that the fact that the whole episode was built towards the hype of him coming back, there is no hype for me in that department, and I wasn't really interested. I'll watch the match, and I'm kind of excited for that, but Goldberg was never one to be on the mic anyway.
But you see, that's where you judged a book by its cover and didn't, like, the promo was great, absolutely great. He killed it.
He was just, I mean, he's just talking, though. Was it really a promo? Like I mean,
you're not next, you're last. I love
that. Okay,
like,
that.
You know, the whole thing with Bra, I enjoyed that. Okay, I enjoyed him being real and talking and carrying his son out after. The crowd was insane. Oh, whether you know, I'm with you. I wasn't the biggest Goldberg fan back then. I don't even think I watched him in WWE at that point. But, like, him coming back is cool. I literally did not care until the crowd went nuts.
Okay.
Because I was with you. The last time they wrestled, it was horrible. Yeah, he's coming back. He's, what, 50-something? Or 50?
49 or something,
You know, what can he do? How can Brock wrestle him? What's going to happen? I wasn't excited. But then the crowd was insane. It felt like a huge deal. And that makes it, you know, immediately like, okay, this is cool. And then he cut a great promo. And it was a good segment. So I really enjoyed it afterwards, you know?
You know, my thing is, okay, in a and I think part of it is the way it's set up, right? Brock is a part-timer. He's not around a lot. You know, it seems that very often when Brock is going to wrestle, he's going to win. So now you have Goldberg coming back. And the thing is, Goldberg is, you know, like you said, probably like about 49 or something like that. Am I to believe that Goldberg is going to beat Brock Lesnar? Statwife wants that to happen because she hates Brock Lesnar and hates the penis on his chest.
And that's the thing. You know, you have this guy who beat Brock Lesnar before and I guess is one of the last, two or three people to beat him because he hasn't lost since he came back, you know, only once or twice.
Yeah.
So you have that. You have the nostalgia. You have people like Statwife or, you know, casual fans who are like, oh, this guy is a beast. Maybe he will beat Brock. And, you know, the spectacle of it is going to be cool. The actual execution of the match is where people like us and the hardcore fans are a little more skeptical because we know, you know, what can and can't happen. But, hey, it's going to be a cool physical match with these two big guys that I never thought I'd see again. And, hey, I'll enjoy it for that one match. You know, Goldberg goes into the Hall of Fame at WrestleMania or next time they're in the South. And, you know, then there it is. Done.
He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. That's...
But he should. He shouldn't. Like, he's a beast. Okay. Whether he was the best wrestler or not, whether he wrestled for more than a minute or not, the WCW run was crazy. And he's the only guy that they ever built throughout their, you know, from when they had the NWO. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know, he had a decent run in WWE. He was a world champion, wrestled Triple H a bunch of times. So it is what it is. But he was one of the biggest stars of that era, man.
I mean, I begrudgingly will agree with you here in that he was a major player during that era, and he was the only one that they really built themselves.
I'll give you a perfect comparison. It's the Ultimate Warrior. He was a big flash in the pan, somewhat like, you know, huge, great look, great physique, great, you know, the face paint, the fireworks, whatever it is, but then, you know, 45-second matches, never the best bell-to-bell guy, had a huge match with Hogan where he beat him, went over, put him on the map, and that's exactly what happened with Goldberg.
It, like, 9-year-old me just got really, really got angry with you. Like, 9-year-old me was just like, how dare you say the Warrior didn't win those matches?
Went to another company. Right, went to the other company after he was done and got squashed by their biggest star. It's exactly what happened with the Warrior. Wasn't booked half as good, lost to Hogan. Goldberg started coming out in shorts, not looking half as good, squashed by Triple H every time.
I don't even want to... This is very disturbing to me.
Okay,
I guess you're right. I mean, I obviously remember... It's tough to separate, you know... It's tough to separate what you know that happened in wrestling to when you still believed it was real.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Ultimate Warrior is my favorite of all time. Like, you know, that will never change. He was the one I loved as the kid, you know? So that'll never be different. But now growing up and, like, learning more about him and the in-ring career is like, oh, wow, this guy really sucked and I loved him this much? How the hell is that possible? But... You know, like, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior was, like, world crashing down. I was like, well, I didn't know what I was buying when I bought that. And then I watched it. I was like, wait, this is great, but what the hell? Wow, he was really this bad?
Like, for me, the only thing they could have, if they would have ever done that for Macho Man, it would have, you know, just...
That's so crazy that they did that, man. Just like a straight spite.
Like, how
literally
much money?
Literally 2.5 hours of spite.
How much money do you have to pay someone so that you release a DVD that you make money off of that abuses them, and then they come back to the company?
Well, I mean, I think...
I guess there's a number. There, I just want to know what that number is.
Hey, man, he probably got paid off it. He didn't care what they had to say. I don't know, but... What do you, like, even tell the guys? Like, yeah, just go out there and make fun of this guy. Yeah, yeah, say whatever the hell you want. I don't care.
Sorry. No, I'm doing the Warrior. The Warrior... Oh, Statwife doesn't understand the Warrior snort, and she thought I was being disrespectful.
I literally didn't know what that was. I didn't see your face move. I didn't thought it was a sound effect. I had no idea.
No, I was trying to do the Warrior... That was my terrible attempt at the Warrior snort.
Yep, great job. Just sounded like you farted in
the mic. So, moving on to the big matches of Raw, Mark Henry and Golden Truth.
Yo, literally, I did not see this match. Like, I saw them come out, right? And I looked down, and then, like, I heard Primo Epico talking to Titus O'Neil. And then the next thing I knew, we were in a commercial, something else was on. And I literally had to go look at the results. Like, wait a minute, did this match happen? What did I miss? So I'm not mad that I missed it. But, yeah, I didn't see it.
All right. Then you had, so let's see what else. You had Bo Dallas defeated Neville, which I thought was...
That was good.
Yeah, I'm really happy that that occurred. I felt...
I'm enjoying Bo Dallas. I'm enjoying this. You know, I like that he killed Curtis Axel. Good. Make Curtis Axel a babyface. Perfect. Well, no pun intended.
That would be... I mean, I like that they're doing something different. I hope that... They need to do something with Dallas. I mean, I know the easy answer, and everybody kind of goes to it very often, is, you know, put him with Bray. But I don't want to see that. I want to see...
you called for that last week, but continue.
I know, and I just, over this week, this is what happened. Actually, this episode of Raw is what made me not want him to be there. Because I don't want him to be a lackey. I want to see what
exactly
they can do here with him. And I think that, you know what? Like, listen, the mid-card, even the lower mid-card, could use consistent feuds. There's nothing wrong with that.
And we'll get into this a little bit with Ellsworth, but I completely agree. Like, you know, there's a need for that. And Bo Dallas is very good. He's always been good on the mic. He's always been good in the ring. His look isn't always the best, but I love the singlet. I think it makes perfect sense for him. So I'm enjoying this you know, new character, and it makes sense.
Oh, I thought it was really good. Then you, Braun Strowman, I mean, in kind of hilariously, right? Like, he wanted more competition, so what does he get?
Which I think we said, yeah, last week.
He gets three guys. I hope that next week, I'm sorry, maybe I'm forgetting. Did he clarify and say that he didn't mean three, or did he just destroy them and leave?
Did you not see when he said, I want more competition, anyone in the back, and then Sami Zayn came out? And
thank you. Now I remember that. See,
you know, he threw him off, and then Zayn was just there, and then, you know, we had the backstage segment where whoever it was, like, why did you go out there? And
He said, because no one else would.
So right. I like that.
All right.
I like this as the first feud. It's good because he's going to kill Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn is going to keep kicking out and sell like a mug. So I enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy this match and this short little feud, and then we'll move on.
So now, you know, the other day I was talking to Statwife, and she said that I'm really good at blocking out negative things. Like, just things that I just find to be terrible that I don't want to remember, I don't remember them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened Monday night, because now that you've told me the story, I felt sick to my stomach, because I could hear you on this week's episode as we were, you know, discussing it. I could hear you talk about how this was going to be good because Sammy's an underdog and he's going to lose. And I'm like, no! Like, it made me so angry. I know it's good booking, whatever, but I'm just a little bit of a Sammy mark, and now I know he's going to get demolished. Like, the first time they go together, he's going to hit some moves, but he's going to get destroyed.
But look at what it's done for Ellsworth. Like, this is what, okay, you know, this is what Sami Zayn is. Like, he's going to get so much sympathy because he's so good at it. And it's going to be perfect, you know. When maybe he gets a roll-up at some point. Maybe, you know, this will be a good feud. And he was doing nothing. So this is better than nothing. And he's going to get over because he's going to be getting killed, and he should be getting killed, so this is going to be good.
This, ladies and gentlemen, this motherfucker just compared Sami Zayn to James Ellsworth.
Ultimate underdog getting over with the crowd, which is, Sami Zayn is a better underdog than anyone. Yes, he's better and more physically built than James Ellsworth. That's not the point.
He likes ska music. Why do we have to beat him up all the time? I can't. Let's just move on to another match, because I'm going to get upset about this. I can't handle it.
Yeah, I don't know what much else there was on Raw. I don't know if there's anything else you want to touch on, but I think that was it for me.
I like to see that Gulak and Nice. Well, Nice has already been working a little heel, but you know, Gulak is just kind of now more of a direct heel. You know, Swan and Cedric were, they were really faces to begin with, but I like that backstage segment for me was important. Not for me, but it was important to me so that the crowd would.
The crowd popped for Cedric and then super popped for Swan. Like, that was nuts. Like, oh, shit. Like, these guys are over. All right. They like these guys. Cool.
But
that was nice to see. You know, I think there was, like, there's boos for Kendrick. There's boos for Nice and Gulak. So people are getting to know these guys. They're getting more over, and we're good to go.
By the way, Goldberg was holding his son at the end of the show?
Yes.
Somebody put that picture up on Facebook or something, in one of the groups I'm following, and said, because of the kid's hairstyle, was like, it's really great that Goldberg's giving TJP the rub. And I was crying. Like, I because if you look at that picture, his hair is so close to TJP's that it was legitimately, I was like, why would he do that? And then I looked and I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's not Perkins. That's his son.
But so what's funny about that too is, like, he starts walking up the aisle and he goes over to, like, somebody else and somebody else's kid, and, like, he picks that kid up, and then he's kind of like, oh shit, and gives that kid back, and then goes to his son. He's like, oh, wait a minute, like, my kid is here, I can do this with my own son. So that was pretty funny to me, like, watching that. Yo, that live, moment
live TV. I'm on Raw and I grab someone else's kid before I grab my kid, who's, like, not that far away in the audience. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, no more show. Statwife just cancels the show. I'm not allowed to watch wrestling anymore. He
cancels you. Like,
yeah, I get deleted.
Maybe he knew the person or whatever, but something just clicked. Like, oh, shit, I can have my kid here. Yo,
Only way that you get out of that is if that kid's a Make-A-Wish kid. That's the only way you get out of trouble.
But I still think whoever that person was doesn't matter. That him picking up somebody else's kid triggered him to remember that his own kid was there and go pick him up. Cool moment. Great. I love it. It meant something to him clearly and meant something to the crowd. So that was it. Great stuff.
I guess the last thing, did you like Papa Rusev? Or Grandpapa Rusev?
Now, Rusev is awesome. Anything he does, because he has the accent, I really enjoy watching. Because it just... I like the sound of his voice with the accent. It's entertaining to watch. So I don't mind. I thought that was great because he just shit all over Reigns. And I thought Reigns actually had a decent promo when he came out. So that was fine. I'm looking forward to their Hell in a Cell match. I think it should be pretty good and physical. So, you know, we'll keep moving on.
I do take umbrage with one thing and one thing only with Rusev.
Dolores?
So you guys know. No, it's you just said Dolores, that's fantastic. Yes, Dolores Umbridge. But seriously, you guys need to know that Hugh Jackman and I have filed a joint lawsuit against WWE and specifically Rusev for copyright infringement on our facial hair. I don't like
every time I see him, I just think of Hugh Jackman. It's crazy.
Like, it makes me so angry. And a kid came into school this week in my class with mutton. Like, he's trying to start his mutton chops, and I looked at him like, "Are you? Is this a joke?
Like, this Machka.
Like, I want to crush him." All right. Now we get to now. I've been waiting to ask you this the entire episode. Now that we head into SmackDown, what do you think? What do you think WWE's in the last 30 years, what is their budget on caskets?
I don't know. Why?
Because the casket, I mean, like, they've really, from, I believe...
they make elaborate caskets.
Survivor Series, this is going to be tough. It's either 94 or 95. I remember Roto-Rooter came to the house, and it was a very crazy night. But Kamala was fighting Undertaker in a casket match. And they had this double-wide casket, but it was, because he's fat. But there was... it was made of just
wood,
and it was ridiculous. It was so ugly.
The Undertaker built it in his workshop.
Yeah, but now their caskets are like ridiculous, and they're all. I mean, I would be upset if I bought a casket that had this trapdoor contraption that all the WWE caskets have.
I would kind of be upset if I bought one that doesn't have that. But so now here's my thing.
You're a pallbearer. You're carrying down the stairs, and boom, the trapdoor goes open. That you don't need that.
Yeah, that's great, but it. If what do you think they do? Like, do they just go to a local funeral home? Like, what do they do? Because you can't really just, like, can you just go to a funeral home and buy a coffin? Like, doesn't that take, like, weeks or, you know, months to build and that kind of thing?
That's why I think they have tons of coffins somewhere. Tons.
And maybe they very easily could just repaint and put some new handles on stuff, blah, blah, blah. But probably isn't that hard to actually, like, hire someone to just build you one. Like,
but you have to build one where the trap door is going to hold a 300-pound wrestler after it's activated. Or do they have two guys, two poor dudes under Kane holding him up before he gets out of the casket?
With their feet and shit. I mean, I don't know. Like, magicians have things that, you know, have all these trap doors and fake things that you could figure something out.
All right. And honestly, I just want, at this point, so many people on SmackDown have the ability to disappear that I think that we should have, like, seven disappearances, like, back-to-back. Like, they disappear, and then the lights go on, and then the lights go off, and then they're behind them, and then the lights go off. Like, I want them switching spots, like, missing each other, like, then the lights go on, and,
like,
the
Wyatts are on the ramp, and Kane's in the ring, then they go out again, Kane's
yes,
on the ramp,
I want
and the Wyatts are
that,
in the ring.
Because it's getting to that point where, how many weeks in a row are we going to have, like, so Kane disappeared, and we don't know where he went, but then he pops up. Like, if Kane has the power to disappear, and then the lights go out, did he make himself disappear? Did the Wyatts take him? Why didn't he just disappear from their grasp?
The only thing that could have made that any better was if when that coffin opened, casket opened, it was the Undertaker and not Kane. That's the only thing that could have made it any better. Like, I don't... Kane's outfit is horrible. Like, the mask is the most atrocious mask I've ever seen. I don't understand why we're still using it. And I don't like visually seeing Kane. It's not appealing. So I can deal with Kane the character, Kane the wrestler, the Kane backstage, anything. But give him a new outfit. I can't stand it. So when I see him in that terrible thing, and now his gut is hanging all over the place, it's horrible. And I don't want to see, like, when he's wrestling the Wyatts, I don't care about the Wyatts. And I'm trying very hard. I really love Luke Harper. I really like Bray Wyatt. They've killed them both. But I'm trying to get behind them again. They're winning matches. They're doing fun things. I like it. But I can't stand when Kane is around. Find something new. Get someone new in there. Which will bring me to my main point on Ellsworth later. But continue.
I didn't. I'm not even going to comment much. I don't care about the Wyatts. I don't care about Kane. I don't care about Randy.
I'm trying to get behind the Wyatts again,
everything's
man.
Together. Everything's fine.
I've like given a fresh start since he came back. I was just like, all right, whatever. I didn't care about this guy before he left, but now I haven't seen him in a while. All right, fine.
I popped harder and cared more about Alexa Bliss's outfit this week than I cared about that whole segment with the Wyatts.
You know, I'll say this. I was very intrigued by the casket. I was like, oh shit, are we gonna get a casket match? Is this gonna be a rebranding for Wyatt? Is Orton leaving again? What's gonna happen? You know, we haven't seen a casket match in forever. So if that's what this comes to, then that's cool. I don't wanna see some form of tag team casket match. That would be horrible. But, you know, they have a casket match I like. So we'll see what comes of that.
But I mean, if they can disappear, then I can't. I'm not even going to get into the logic of it all. I don't want to see a casket match. That was Undertaker's thing. And
But I'm fine if it's Wyatt. Like, Wyatt is hopefully a new, you know, they've killed him. Yes, I get it. But Wyatt's character is that new era of spooky, you know, creepy guy. So I'm fine if he brings back the casket match and, you know, we go. I like that. That's a fun match.
We've spoken about this for far too long. Alexa Bliss's outfit. So, she's dressed up as like Freddy Krueger. I was asking you about how she almost seems like Rey Mysterio in terms of like having very dedicated outfits, because it's not just one piece. You know, that's I think the difference. Like, you know, she really kind of buys into the whole thing. She really goes in the whole way.
Yes, but you know, as I said to you when we were texting, it's Rey Mysterio was the costume. Like, it was the mask. It was everything was literally that. You know, whereas Alexa Bliss is not wearing what Freddy Krueger wears. She's just putting a Freddy Krueger spin on clothing.
But she did have the sweater.
Yes, but the sweater had claw marks on it, and it was Alexa Bliss'd up. It wasn't
okay.
Just Freddy Krueger's sweater, you know?
Fair. I'm glad she beat Naomi. Not because I don't like Naomi, but just because I feel like if she's going to be the number one contender, she needs to get that victory back. You know, she got surprised, you know, at No Mercy. But now that she was prepared, she took care of business. And I thought that was, you know, well done.
Yep. They've done a good job building up their women. You know, all six of them, eight of them, however many. They've done a good job there.
So I guess we'll just tie it into the next one. You had Carmella kind of calling Nikki out, and they had a segment in the ring, which I thought was weird.
That was terrible. It was really bad.
I mean, I buy her as very obnoxious. Like, it's almost like
yes.
she needs to forever be a heel because she's so good at being unlikable.
Yeah, the Princess of Staten Island, like, that's the heel thing. But, you know, everybody knows that Nikki Bella is dating John Cena. Like, that's not a thing. You're not breaking the wall. Like, they're on four different reality shows, you know? Like, there's nothing. So for her to say that, okay, fine, you want to say it once, no problem. And then Nikki Bella kind of killed her, and then she just said it again. She was like, oh, like Nikki was like, oh, really? I'm hiding it? I have two reality shows, and I'm all over this. And then Carmella was like, well, you can lie all you want. Like, what? She didn't? No, that's not. Did you listen to what she just said?
But that almost came off as heelish. Like, I'm not even. Like, that's like. I don't want to get political, so I'm not going to say his name. But it just seems like she was not even reacting to what was said. She was just continuing with her agenda.
Yeah, but you can't be, like, dumb. I don't know.
She would have gotten low promo points in the game.
The good thing about the good thing about being a heel is, like, when you at times are telling the truth and being an asshole about how you're saying it. And yeah, Carmella was telling the truth, but everyone already knows it, and she wasn't bringing anything up. And, you know, when she started turning it into the, you know, you used him to get you here, that's different. But the relationship thing that she was playing up was just like, come on, that's terrible.
All right. I'll agree with you on that one. Then okay. So I have to admit, you were right. Kurt Hawkins is a heel.
Oh, you think?
It really makes me laugh that I didn't see that. But yeah, so he almost debuted against Apollo Crews, but then Apollo Crews punched him in the face, so he got angry and left because
what the hell, man? That's not cool.
His debut was ruined. It was well executed. You know, I wanted to see him wrestle though, and I think I said last week, excuse me, that I'm just kind of to the point where I watch too much wrestling to not get to see someone when they're advertised.
And that's also, see, like, after watching this week, I kind of fell in line with you. I was like, oh, you know, come on, I want to see this guy work already. But, again, like, what you just said kind of made me lean back to mine is, like, yeah, we watch so much wrestling, so to see somebody be a dick and tease me with the match and not give it to me is not refreshing, but it's a little bit different, and I kind of like it. I like his gimmick. I don't think his entrance promo was as good as it was the first time on the pay-per-view. No. But, you know, I like that. It's different. It's unique. So that's cool.
All right. And then the Spirit Squad's still a thing. And they teamed up with Miz. I can't believe they're going to stick around. Like you said,
I think after this, they'll probably be done. But, you know, who knows? Okay. So we'll get to this more with Ellsworth, but WWE needs this, like, you know, because of the lack of depth on SmackDown, to have someone like Ellsworth, to have someone like the Spirit Squad just come, show up, do a promo, do a program, blah, 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 that's fine. I'm enjoying it, you know? They've played a good role in this feud, and a logical one.
Well, okay, so let me pitch you an idea. Instead of bringing back these two guys that weren't on the roster,
save this for James Ellsworth, please, because this is my exact point about him. So go ahead. I guess we could just get into it.
Yeah, because the only other things are what? Corbin beat Swagger, which is fine, whatever.
Dominating him, but yeah, go ahead.
But
which we can get address more on Talking Smack. Continue.
So listen to this perfect angle I pitch, right? Miz needs partners to take on Ziggler, Slater, and Rhino. The vaudevillains come out, and they say, they talk about how Heath Slater is not a proper, he's not a proper gentleman, you know, and they align with Miz.
I'd almost rather see the Spirit Squad than the vaudevillains, but anyway.
But I mean, the vaudevillains like have that like old timey, you know, like, you're not a man. Like they could, you know, just like that, and they could call him out, and then.
But
you know,
the Spirit Squad had the history with Dolph. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but what? Okay, so now Dolph need. But what happens with Slater and Rhino? Who are they going to face now? Are they going to face the Spirit Squad
them,
for the titles?
I could see them. I could see them having a match with the Spirit Squad, which whatever, but. You know, then that's it. Then they move on. They didn't have anyone to face right now. The Usos and Alpha are still having their feud. So, you know, this was a little placeholder.
Yeah, they do have someone to face. They have people that haven't been on the roster, the vaudevillains.
Well, so now here's my issue with Ellsworth. And it's what you were getting at there. You know, why are we... And it sucks that Heath Slater is in a tag team because he would have been the perfect James Ellsworth. But, you know, this guy was a Strowman jobber. Like, he looks like a freak, so like I guess it's like a rib that he's coming back, blah, blah, blah. But he's more over right now than any half of the people on the roster. So wouldn't this have been better to throw a Ty Dillinger or any type of NXT guy or any low guy on SmackDown or Raw that you didn't have plans for? Wouldn't that have been better to throw as AJ's partner and him flip out and then we go from there? Like, you know, the way that it's worked out, you've got a guy to be more over than people on your roster, and most likely he's not going to be there. Then I started talking myself into, like, well, maybe he does stick around. Maybe we need this Santino, Barry Horowitz kind of guy around. But I don't really care about James Ellsworth. Like, I don't – he's never going to do anything meaningful. So why do I care?
People are judged by their appearances. Now, the 1-2-3 kid had a horrible mullet. But
perfect example.
When he won, I mean, he, you know, it really, he was super over. It was,
and
huge,
he was a guy that they were debuting. You know, a guy who was coming into the company, a guy with talent, not James Ellsworth. Not saying he's not
him.
A bad worker.
No, I don't care. I'm gonna say it. I can't look at him.
Yeah,
I cannot.
I agree.
I don't want to see him on my TV screen. Yeah. It's just offensive. It's offensive to me. Like, no, you're part of. Wrestling is the way you look, and you cannot really be more than an enhancement talent on a WWE show. There are
Correct.
Too many people in other places that should be on WWE, even as enhancement talent, you know.
Exactly. And that's my biggest thing, you know, like you have an entire roster full of guys, and I get it, you don't want to kill somebody by putting them in that sort of a place. But look at what you just did with Heath Slater. That made him more popular. So you should have kind of been prepared for a guy like this to get over and this reaction. And maybe it's just because he's a jobber and he looks like one and he looks like he doesn't belong. And yes, I get that that's part of it. But you could have done this with somebody on your roster, you know, somebody that's not being used. Like, so I said Heath Slater probably would have fit perfectly into this, but now he's already there. So I don't know who really it would have been off the top of my head because there's not really anyone that with that kind of a build, but you could have done it with someone, man. You could have put a cruiserweight. You could have Rich Swann, put Cedric Alexander. It could have been someone, you know, mm-hmm. that someone that you're going to build up for years to come.
No, it's a little frustrating. He just doesn't seem like the guy who's going to be sticking around, and that's my major
and
issue.
See, like, and that's my whole thing. Like, what if he does stick around?
Oh,
then is it God. Then is it okay? Am I still mad that he's around? Am I more accepted? Like, oh, okay, at least he's part of the roster. Do I want to see him as part of the roster? Like, what is he going to do? Just job out to everyone? I don't want to see him winning matches. You know, like you said with 1-2-3 Kid, it was the flashy clothes, it was the quick moves, it was the jumping kicks. He was appealing. I wanted to see him win. I don't want to see James Ellsworth win. That being said, I'm enjoying the angle. I just don't like that it's Ellsworth.
Exactly.
You know, the story that they – I don't care that AJ got pinned last week. he got pinned by Dean Ambrose. You know, it James Ellsworth didn't do anything. I don't care that he got disqualified this week. I thought that was brilliant. That was a perfect story to tell. You know, that's exactly how I thought it was going to go. That's exactly how I wanted it to go. And it went that way. Ambrose was good at ringside. Ambrose was good as the ref. Good stuff. Great storytelling. It's perfectly fine. I just wish someone else was in the role.
All right. So that's our SmackDown. NXT had a couple things.
Smack?
Oh, come on, man. You know I don't watch that. What happened to Double Smack?
AJ came, he said, Ellsworth's blood is on Ambrose's hands. Ambrose's blood is now on Bryan's hands. Kind of just cut a whole promo blaming him for this whole thing, and he could have made Ambrose stay in the back. He made him the ref. He made him the ring announcer, all that. Corbin cut a good promo on Bryan, saying, Bryan kind of questioned, like, do you feel anything, you know, kind of just coming here after the NFL, blah, blah, blah. And Corbin was like, well, people like you, it took 10 years to get here. Me, it took a phone call. So I like that. You know, it was a really good promo from him. The Hype Bros were on. That was whatever. Emma asked Zach if he had a special lady in his life, and it definitely was not supposed to, because he was like, what?
Wait, Emma asked Zach, or?
Sorry, Renee.
Okay,
Renee
okay.
Young asked Zach, like, they were talking about whatever, and she was like, Zach, do you have a special lady in your life? And I guess they broke up because Mojo was like, got him, and like they were all like laughing and super hyped. And afterwards, Zach was like, we got to talk later. I can't believe you asked me that. And she was dying like live TV. So I don't know.
Oh, they broke up.
I don't know what's going on in their personal lives, but you know, from the sound of that, it seemed that way. It was pretty funny.
I'm
Talking Smack just continues to be, you know, phenomenal.
Wow, I was legitimately upset to just hear that, you know. I was like, I was so happy for Zack Ryder. I'm like, you know, he doesn't really get pushed.
Yeah, good for him, Emma, but, yeah, you know, who knows?
That's terrible. All right.
Maybe they're not, you know. Maybe
no, I thought I'm actually looking through Twitter because I want to make sure that, I thought I saw them post a picture like in Times Square like a week and a half ago.
All right, well, who knows?
At dinner. I hope so. I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, man.
Sorry.
But yeah, so yeah, we can move on to NXT and the one thing that we both cared about and that I watched, which, you know, we knew, I don't think we said on the podcast, but Austin Aries had his mystery partner, Roderick freaking Strong. He was Roderick Strong. Same trunks, same name, same moves in the ring. You know, he hit the sick kick, he hit the fireman's carry into the gut buster. He was hitting his spots. He was hitting his moves. Him and Aries teamed together forever. It was great.
Yeah, I saw a promo actually of somebody asking them, like, well, you know, why are you guys a team? And they were like, are you serious? Like, no, this is the guy that I turned to. Like, this, I've teamed with him before. Like,
ROH, TNA, everywhere, yeah, man.
So it was cool to see that. You know, I know that this kind of is a little bit old news, but I mean, it was new on this episode. And you know, you had No Way Jose and Rich Swann defeated Tony Nese and Gulak in the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Yeah, they were. That was a fun entrance to watch.
And I like that they had them on Raw, and they're still going to be pushing them even if they lost this match on Wednesday.
Yeah, like it, you know, just goes hand in hand.
What I didn't see was I didn't get to see Daniela Camilla. I guess she's like a new NXT women's wrestler that came out, and apparently she won by referee's decision. So that's kind of, I tried to look her up. She doesn't look that imposing, so I'm not sure if she has some sort of MMA twist to her or something, but
I saw Tessa Blanchard got a new name. That not her, right?
No, this is someone different. Okay. So, I don't know who, Nikki Cross. I'm not sure if I've seen her before. I feel like I have, but
Nikki Cross is the one who's Insanity.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I'm not good with the names yet. I'll be a little honest.
Nikki Cross won. Oh no, Daniela Camilla beat Nikki Cross because Nikki Cross got disqualified for continuing to beat her.
Oh, okay. Wait, see, WWE had really sparse results. It just said referee's decision. So I thought it was the type of thing where, like, like a goal. I don't know. Gave her like 10 suplexes, you know, and then like she couldn't function anymore. Okay.
Yeah, Nikki Cross beat her and then just wouldn't stop killing her. And so they gave
her
reversed
the decision. Okay. Yeah. There we go. WWE, let's go. Whoever's writing for your website needs to help fix that up there. All right, so Ring of Honor this week was finally back to a new episode. I was pretty excited about that. You had now, I mean, this has just been just absurd. If you head over to lastwordonprowrestling.com, I wrote a piece about this. If you head over to PW Ponderings, I've got my review for the week's episode. But, man, War Machine with Shane Taylor and Keith Lee, I can't get enough of this feud. I was really upset, and we talked about it on the show, when the Addiction won the titles. I was like, why would you take it off War Machine? What are you going to do with them now? And this is what you do with them. You have them brawl with these guys who are just as big as them, just as agile as them. And with the next pay-per-view being Final Battle, and I'm pulling for a fight without honor. Like, I want to see that in person. These guys can go, and I just... Now, Shane Taylor... So after Ray Rowe actually had won the match, Shane Taylor came in with chairs and just kind of laid them out. So the rivalry's not done, and I feel like the only way to end it is a fight without honor.
See, I don't know if you give it that fight without honor title, but definitely some type of street fight, cage match, something along those lines. And did they make the TV title match for Final Battle on the show, or did they just announce it?
They just announced it.
Oh, and I mean, Bobby Fish, Dragon Lee, meh. I don't really care about that.
I don't even understand what you're doing there. I don't know why you would do that. It's Final Battle. This is a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And
this is your WrestleMania.
Yeah, if you have... Okay, here's the thing. Here's the reason why I hate that match. If Dragon Lee wins, I'm going to burn the place down.
Yeah, I don't care about the TV title immediately. I don't want to see Dragon Lee win.
Yeah, I'm going to be furious. Now,
and like you said, it's Final Battle. This is Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. This is Jay Briscoe, Pete. Like this is the year long feuds ending. This is what this is. This isn't a brand new match that nobody has ever seen before, that nobody really cares about. I don't know. Maybe Dragon Lee is good and will be, like, hyped as hell. I don't know.
The only thing that I can think, and I'm not sure when it's supposed to happen, but on Ring of Honor this week, it started off with Cole coming out with the Young Bucks, and they had their titles. And then basically Cole was like, you know, and Paige is going to be challenging for the TV title, and he is soon. I'm not sure. I think it might be when they're in England. So now, the only way I'm okay with this is if it's not going to actually be Bobby Fish. Not that I don't like Bobby Fish. But if it ends up being Adam Page and this is like his first defense. Because then
I think I'm less interested in that.
Page with the TV title, you have the Bucks to have the tag titles, and then you have Cole. So
I'd rather just see Page get added to the match and win or something. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. But yeah, okay. I'm just trying to think about like them going into Final Battle with all the belts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that would be quite a sight if they ended up standing tall at the end of the night. But I still think, I mean, I think Kyle Ryan's gonna beat Page.
Yeah, I think there's one big wrinkle to that, all standing tall at night, and, you know, his name is Kyle O'Reilly.
No, the contract situation's a little scary because it seems like their contracts expire, like, towards the end of the year or in January or something. So I hope that has no bearing on how they end up.
You know? I mean, this is Kyle O'Reilly's win. This is, you know, like, this is built up for him to win. So, maybe the contracts don't necessarily play into it, but either way, they're playing into it because Cole is gone. I don't really think he sticks around for much longer after that. So, O'Reilly is the champion. Maybe he sticks around for another year, 6 months, whatever the case, and then comes to WWE. So, you know, I think either way, contracts play into it regardless.
All right. Well, I guess, yeah, I'll just talk about the last match because it kind of ties in, and then I'll go back to the middle. So then you had Jay Lethal versus Silas Young as the main event. And, you know, Jay Lethal ends up winning because Adam Cole came out for commentary. He actually didn't start the match on commentary. So like halfway through the match, or I guess towards the end, he starts sauntering down to ringside, and O'Reilly actually attacks him from behind. So now they're brawling now right by the apron. And O'Reilly hops up on the apron as Silas is, like, about to hit his, like, moonsault from the corner on Lethal and gets annoyed that O'Reilly's there. So he turns his attention to Riley and pushes him, and Lethal rolls him up for the victory. And then O'Reilly and Cole were going at it in the ring, and you had Lethal and Silas Young outside the ring. You know, Silas Young is getting the title shot, and I know he's not going to win, but I've been wanting them to push him. He's such a great heel, you know, no matter who he's wrestling, that I think that having him up top-ish is going to help the company, especially if they're going to lose somebody like Adam Cole.
Yeah, I mean, getting a title shot is always a big deal because, you know, even if you know Silas Young isn't winning, there will be moments when there are near falls and he gets close to winning. So
yeah, they have
regardless, you're able to suspend your, you know, belief for that match and just enjoy it for what it is.
They had him go, I mean, the entire Honor Rumble. You know, he started at number one after wrestling a match earlier tonight and won. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're clearly investing some stuff into him. And then the last thing I'll talk about was one of the six-man tag title tournament match. It was a first-round match, the Cabinet versus Leon St. Giovanni, Shahima Lee. They're like the team. They're called Team Ali G, and Jason Kincaid, who apparently had a big week in terms of being on pay-per-views and different companies because he wrestled at Evolve this weekend, and then you know his appearance here aired. And oh man, they hit this one move. They put Titus upside down in a Tree of Woe, and I believe it was Kincaid and Giovanni hit coast-to-coast drop kicks while Shaheem ran from the other side of the ring. So at the same time, they all hit him at the same time with a triple drop.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was just, it looked crazy. You know, and there was a part of me that kind of knew that they weren't going to win.
But, clearly.
You know, they actually gave, there were a couple times where there were a couple near falls where I was like, what? They're really going to win? So that was just, it was nice to see them. Hopefully they're going to be on TV more because, like I said, I think Ring of Honor needs to kind of start pushing more guys and making guys more credible and make them more well-known. So I don't know if Kincaid's going to come back, though. I mean, especially, I don't know what his situation's like. He was just wrestling with Evolve. I'm not sure if that was just a regular tryout type thing or if they're really considering him and he's going to stay there. If he does, I think Ring of Honor's missed out because I really enjoy watching him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it would be like, but I don't see why he couldn't, you know, necessarily just do both for a while. I don't think he's going to be signed exclusively to either, you know, right at the moment. So hopefully, you know, we get to see him in both.
All right. Anything else for this week?
No, I do not think so.
Oh, wait, what did you think about the happy couple? Oh, you didn't want to bring that up. All right.
I mean, like, it's, at this point, it's just a shit show, and it doesn't seem like it's good for either of them. Paige's dad came out on, like, Facebook or Twitter or whatever and said, like, I'm against my daughter marrying that man. That's it. So, I mean, if her family sees something wrong with it and WWE saw something wrong with it, maybe they weren't wrong this time, and maybe it is toxic to one or both of them. And from the stories we've heard or the TMZ stuff or whatever footage you see, it doesn't look like it's that good for them. You know, like they were, I don't know, you know, these are how crazy things get started, but you know, I heard one thing like Paige owed drug dealers money and yes, they you know, that was something with the Rio, and you know, that's just a clear to me like, oh, these people are having issues, let's just try and throw something absurd out there.
Yeah.
But the fact that it can be thrown out there is you know, that's not a good look.
No, it's definitely odd. It almost feels like they're living the AJ Lee CM Punk storyline out, like in real life. And it's just kind of odd. And I would be very upset if I find out that they get married and what is his name? Roberto Rodriguez? No.
Yeah. Ricardo.
Yeah, it is Ricardo. If Ricardo Rodriguez is not at their wedding, like being the MC and introducing them, I'd be very upset. Like I hope that relationship is not severed enough that he won't, you know, that he would choose not to show up. That would
I mean, now that you brought up that, I mean, we'll just touch on lastly you've been seeing or reading anything about all this TNA lawsuits and all of that craziness? Because it seems like every day I see something else about this person is suing them, and now this company is, and now this company is, and this company said they'll fund everything and get rid of everyone, and blah, blah, blah.
I'm gonna sue them. Because I watched a couple episodes and I didn't like it, so I'm gonna sue them.
It's crazy, man. Like, for someone who is struggling with money, now is getting sued for millions everywhere, and owes these people this and those people that, it's... What happens? How do they come out of this? They're taped till December, and then are supposed to be taping in January. So I'm fine with, like, I think it's kind of smart if they're taking on that Lucha Underground model of taping for a week and then airing everything out throughout a year or a season, whatever. That kind of makes sense. You know, you don't have a lot of money, do that. But, not a good look.
Listen, man, I don't want to say I told you so, but I...
Okay, let's be clear about something here. You told me so. These guys lasted longer than WCW. That's crazy.
Wait, what?
Yes, TNA has been around longer than WCW. Think about that. Yeah, uh-huh. The look on your... I wish people could see, like, this needs to be a GIF. You just thinking like that, just turning sideways was fantastic. Exactly.
So is it...
It blew your mind.
Is it because I'm, like, connecting, like, Mid-Atlantic and stuff? I'm connecting NWA.
No, you just... WCW was around for a long time. Like, they're the beginning with all those terrible, like, pay-per-views and Cactus Jack and Abdullah, Vader... All that stuff, it seems like forever ago.
Yeah.
But it was around for 10 years or 11 years, you know?
What?
Like, it ended in, it was what, 90 or 88, whatever, whenever it became 89, let's say. And it ended in what, 2001? Go ahead, yeah, look it up.
All right. I have nothing else, guys.
Yeah, man.
I'm shocked. You can't drop something like that on me. I
didn't plan to, but you called out TNA, you know, trying to say you knew it was doomed to fail, but it's a major success.
So you know how
and if you watch it in the past 2 years, it's been great. What?
WCW kept off their lawsuits because they had the chairman, La Parca. See, you need somebody like that to handle all your negotiations, then there's no lawsuits.
See, what's also crazy, and, you know, this could be how we just end it, is... In Tennessee, apparently, your debt and stuff carries over. So if somebody buys TNA, then they're liable for all of these other lawsuits and money. So, like, that's kind of crazy. Wouldn't it make more sense to just fold the company and start again?
Let's just buy TNA, man.
I wish.
All right. Well, I think I'm tapped out with wrestling talk this week.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so just before we head on out of here, just want to remind you that you can find us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, our Running Wild podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Running Wild LWOS. That's usually where you can find Runs tweeting. If you see anything lame, it's usually from me. You can find me at Rich_Laconi on Twitter. And Facebook as well. Make sure you send us any emails to runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. And with all of that out of the way, we just want to remind you that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too
long.
Sweet.